Okay, good morning, Anne. Thank you for sitting down with us or sitting down with me to talk a little bit about your career journey. So, to kick it off, tell us a little bit about yourself and walk us through a little bit of your career story.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. My name is Anne Forsyth. I'm currently the Director of Clinical Applications and Decision Support at Women's College Hospital in Toronto. So this is an academic hospital in the city of Toronto, and we do not have any inpatient beds or emergency department. We are a fully ambulatory hospital with clinics that we support. In my role here, I do oversee the optimization of our electronic medical record system, or our EMR, and we use Epic as our vendor for that. And I also have the data analytics and decision support team under me, so it's kind of the full data life cycle. I have the data in piece where people are documenting within our system, and the data out, which is the analytics side of the house. Before I moved over to women's, I was at the Canadian Institute for Health Information, or CIHI, and in that organization, I was a program lead for a number of years for the clinical administrative databases team, and I did development and expansion there, focusing on the DAD and NACRS data holdings. So that's inpatient and ambulatory and ED data. Towards the latter part of my time at CIHI, I moved into a manager of data standards role. Before I was at CIHI, I was within the information privacy space within the provincial government in Ontario. And kind of outside of my day job, I also do volunteer for the board of directors of Digital Health Canada, where I'm currently the vice president. This is a professional association for digital health professionals across the country. So I've been in the digital health space about 15 years now, and my particular areas of interest are in data and standards and improving provider experiences with EMR systems.
That is fascinating. So, I mean, you've said a lot of fascinating things that I'd like to sort of go back and unpack a little bit. One, Women's College was not ambulatory fully when I was there. So that is a huge change. But what struck me as interesting was, well, all of it, but your time at CIHI. So, and I say that from a nursing lens. We on in organizations always submitted a lot of data to CIHI, and I've never really known what happens with that data, like whether it's on length of stay or surgical wait times or any of those pieces. So I'd like a little bit of background in terms of when we submit all these benchmarks to CIHI, what happens on that end?
For sure. So, a lot of analysis happens in a nutshell. So we get the data from hospitals across the country. In the DAD data holding, it's 100% coverage. So every hospital in the country is submitting their inpatient data. In the NACRS data holding, it's emergency department and ambulatory data, and getting very close to 100% as well. When that data comes in, we have kind of an army of analysts there who will work with it, clean it up, put it in the format that's required for all of the ministries. So it goes to the ministries of health, and it helps with funding and policy decisions there, typically on a monthly basis. So people are looking at the data kind of, all the time to help with decision making. It also goes into reports that CIHI generates and analyses that CIHI generates and publishes out to inform the country about the health of our health system. So it does get used in many different ways.
That's fascinating. I mean, I always figured that it did. And I knew that there was an articulation between the data that was collected and the ministry, but that whole process just eludes me, right? It's one of those things that you sort of push data out and kind of forget it until a report comes back where you see, oh, our hospital is doing amazing here, but not so amazing here. So thank you for unpacking that. I appreciate that. So in healthcare, it's evolving, as we know, and it has been for many years. But especially now in the digitization state, as well as with the sharing of information. So, how do you see the role of health information management professionals changing in this landscape?
Yeah. So I think the role of health information management professionals is going to grow in value and importance in a huge way in the coming years. I see the intersection between the work of digital solution teams, so teams like I lead, who operationalize products like Epic or Cerner, which is now Oracle Health, and the HIM teams or health information management teams. That intersection is growing rapidly. And I think the competencies that HIMs bring to the table will be kind of the differentiator in helping us to level up our data game within EMRs at hospitals across the country. So just, even in the little kind of example we used for how data flows from hospitals to an organization like CHI High and then what happens to it, and, it goes out to ministries and helps with these funding and policy decisions. It's really when you get to the nuts and bolts of the data elements that are being used to do all of that, and it's health information management professionals who understand these things at those fundamental levels. That's the only way that you're going to achieve, better data for those particular data elements. So understanding that documenting a diagnosis, for example, on a chart in a place where it's accessible to an analytics team or a health information management team, and then it can be extracted and sent off to organizations like CHI-HI. It's that understanding of data flow that is going to help us really clean up the data from its point of creation within EMR so that it can flow across the health system and help with decisions all along the way.
You know what I find fascinating, and I've said this actually with each interview that I've done, and because of my nursing background, is there's such a silo between the front line and the people that obtain the data, which has struck me as almost as a shame, insofar as I think that if I knew what you needed, it would make what I'm trying to collect, I think, probably a lot more meaningful. Like I collect what I collect because I know that I need this patient history to help the physician. But not knowing that there's a background to that, or a backside to that, I think it's almost detrimental. And I'm wondering if there's ever going to be, what am I looking for here? Sort of like a better way for the frontline staff to sort of mesh with the back of the house, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I'm, and I don't know, I'm no longer in nursing school, so I don't know what those pieces are. However, I've never had anybody from health information, come in for a seminar to say, hey, this is what we do, and this is why we do what we do.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's so, I think what you're saying represents the reality with most clinicians. We actually have just started a data governance project here at the hospital, and I won't call it a project actually because that means that it ends and data governance should never end. But we've started the work to put a data governance framework in place at the hospital. And leading into this, we did a whole bunch of interviews with clinicians across our hospital, physicians, nurses, allied health. And the thing that was so clear from those interviews is that that connection between realizing that what they are documenting within Epic is turning into data points in the back end that we are going in and then using for all of these different purposes, that wasn't there. And that's like a fundamental understanding before you can do data governance and before you can do all of the fancy AI stuff that everyone wants to do. You need to have that understanding because people need to know that, like, it's not, yes, you've been taught in, nursing school or medical school to document in order to meet your medical legal obligations or get patient history and make sure that people or patients are being provided with the right care. But that like additional understanding of this is also data. This is also what's, the bedrock of our systems, our IT systems within the healthcare space. Like I think that is a gap. And I actually think health information management professionals have that understanding and can be the bridge.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've said this previously, again, that our understanding as clinicians of health information professionals, or health records, or whatever you want to call it, it's morphed over the years, are these people who are the holder of, at the time, a paper chart, right? You need a chart, you call down to health records, and they magically bring you up with the patient's chart, but there's so much more to that back end that I know that I was not aware of. And I think that it almost does clinicians a disservice to not know, because I think, again, on the front end, we would probably collect or make the collection pieces a lot more valuable to what it is that you need on the back end.
Yes,
So,
totally
anyways,
agree.
that was my little spiel,
Yeah,
my little light bulb moment that goes off every time I do these interviews. What is your biggest challenge as healthcare shifts towards a more data-driven industry? And what I mean by that is we're always collecting data, but I mean from a digital space.
that's a great question, and I'm like an optimist by nature, so I actually hear the question as like, what are the possibilities as we move to this data-driven world? And I would say like it's about time that we shifted to being a data-centric industry, just given the sheer volume of data that we generate within each healthcare interaction. So we do need to start thinking about whether that data that we're creating is good. Is it usable, comprehensive, reliable, accurate, timely? And these are the areas that I think health information management professionals can really make an impact as we move towards being more data-centric and becoming more comfortable using data and understanding its value.
Thank you. One of the things that I remember reading in your bio was about building resilience in the workforce. So, essentially, what does resilience mean to you? And then, why did you feel that this was important, especially in this space?
Sure. So resilience is the capacity to withstand or recover from difficulty. And my view is that it has two aspects to it. So one, you need to build up your strength and your grit to kind of fight through situations and get through what it is that's coming at you, whether it's a big change or something that's difficult. But at the same time, it's also about keeping your positivity and curiosity and being able to reframe any obstacles that you're facing in your mind in a way that makes you interested in them, makes you want to resolve them rather than running away from them. And I really think that having both aspects of that resilience will allow us to sustain through change and make sure that we don't burn out, especially in healthcare, which is this kind of constantly evolving environment. We really do need to tap into our resilience in a way that helps us kind of lead better and get through kind of the never-ending shifts.
I 100% agree with you. What was it about this space, and I have it in my mind where why you've chosen this topic, but why in this space did you feel that resilience was so important? I mean, I think resiliency is important no matter where you work, but in particular, when you're looking at people that are collecting information, and it seems to be a very data focused. What was it about this space that you noticed, that led people to maybe not have the resiliency that they needed in order to continue to function optimally?
So I would say that, I mean, I don't know one way or the other if people have the resiliency or not. I'm sure that everyone does to some extent. I do think though that this profession, the health information management space, is one that's kind of ready for a pivot and has been for a while, but we're now kind of at the edge of the cliff with it, given where we are in our digital maturity as a healthcare industry. And it's kind of, now is the time to make that pivot, and the change is here. And so leaning on your resilience is going to become really important. And so I think just kind of keeping those lessons at the forefront and helping to kind of, or using those to help you as health information management goes through the shift, I think is going to be really valuable, just to make sure that they, that we make it to the other side and in a way that's beneficial to everyone.
No, that's fair. Now you sparked my interest. When you say that, health information is about to make this pivot, what is that pivot that you see?
So I mean, when I was at Kai High, we often talked about how we can tap into data that's been digitized in the healthcare system. How can we get the data that we need at Kai High in a more automated way, in a more timely way? And there was always kind of this barrier of, the data quality. We don't know if we can trust the data quality that's or the quality of the data that's being generated in these systems. We need that validation. We need the data to become structured and codified. And so that was at a time, this was a number of years ago now. That was at a time when hospitals were just kind of in the process of shifting towards the previous approach of having a lot of specialty systems that they had implemented. So they had like a separate lab system, a separate EMR system for all of their ambulatory clinics, something separate for inpatient, something separate for DI. And now most hospitals across the country, across the world, have started to consolidate onto one EMR, one centralized EMR system within the hospital, and in Canada, in some cases, province-wide. And that's, been kind of that wave or trend has been kind of in progress for about a decade. And so we're hitting a point now where people are looking at the data that's been created in these systems, and they're saying, okay, we need to optimize it. We need to clean up our workflows. We need to standardize the data. And once that's done, it should be the quality should be there, and it should be ready to move in a more automated and timely way to organizations like Kaihi. And I think for health information management professionals, like, it's very important to understand that the role is going to change. It's not going to go away. Like, the skills that they have is what will help the industry get to that point of better data and standardized workflows. And you can kind of guide that shift or that data revolution.
The great way to put it, the data revolution. And you're right. I mean, I can't speak for other provinces. I mean, I do know that BC, I believe, is on Epic. I know we're on Epic. I know Ontario is. I can't speak for the other provinces where they've landed, but that shift itself, province-wide here, has been nothing less than amazing in terms of the fact. And I'm going to say not from a provider perspective, because there were a lot of bumps and hiccups along the way, but I think from the person who personally, from the sole holder of the health information, which is you as a patient, and to be able to have access to that information and to know that I don't now have to tell the same story a million times, regardless of where I go within the province. And I think that that is revolutionary in and of itself. So, I mean, I think if that's meaningful to me as a patient, then on the backside, it's got to be that much more beneficial to the to the providers and the clinician who then access this information.
Sure.
Okay, so as a speaker and a leader, how do you inspire others to embrace change that then helps to facilitate the building of that re resilience?
For sure. So I think in terms of leadership, one of the most important things that you can do is model the behavior that you want to see on your teams. And so I think kind of demonstrating resilience, demonstrating positivity towards change, and building up the resilience by getting curious about the change that's coming at you rather than being afraid of it, I think is a really great way to lead. In terms of the way that I speak and connect with audiences, I always use a combination of kind of personal and professional experiences or stories to inspire. And I'm not saying I have all of the right ways and answers to approach things, but I find that when we share our stories, we start to find common threads, and then we collectively build our resilience so we can start to embrace the change that we're all facing in some way or another. We're all going through our own challenges. And so, that's that word I really love, that you used about how do you embrace change? Like, it is about embracing it and not, resisting it.
It's so funny for such a dynamic industry, healthcare, the people behind it tend to not want to change, which is very interesting to me because everything else around is constantly changing, but
Yeah.
we get set in our ways. No, I learned this way, so it must be, the Bible of how we do things. So it's just fascinating that there's such a difference between the industry and then the people that work in this industry some of the
Yeah,
times.
that's such a great observation. And it's true, like we see archaic like forms that are being filled out that, were created 50 years ago and make no sense anymore, but we just do it because it's the way we've always done it. And it's adding burden, it's adding all of this unnecessary, heaviness in our industry. So we should be looking at how do we, freshen it up and we change our approach. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to jump here a couple of questions. How do you think professionals can stay ahead of the curve regarding some of the digital trends in data management?
Yeah, I would say like first and foremost in terms of attitude, just like remain curious always, learn new things, try and find out about topics that you're hearing about that maybe you don't know as much about. Go and research, attend webinars, consume all of the information that you can, and don't be afraid to ask questions. These are all like opportunities for growth, and you shouldn't like shy away from them. What's going to being armed with new information is what's going to help you make the pivot when it's time. It's going to give you that information that's kind of or the leg up that you need.
I love that. I'm going to go back because I just realized I never really unpacked how you ended up in this space. Like, why healthcare, number one, and then why data?
Yeah, for sure. I guess why healthcare? I'm a child of immigrant parents, and so my future was mapped out for me when I was 2 years old, and it was that you're going to become a doctor. and I ended up in university and did not, enjoy chemistry and calculus and all the things that you need to do in order to get into medical school. But I was in a co-op program at the University of Waterloo in a health studies degree, and was able to kind of do co-op in or do my placements in organizations that were focused on public health, that were focused on digital health, and it kind of opened my eyes to this whole other space in the healthcare world where you're still in healthcare, but it's kind of tangential in a way. And digital health just really stuck with me. I really enjoyed it. And I ended up with my first job in information privacy, which is how I kind of made my way into data, because it's when you're in privacy, it's really about understanding data flow so that you can ensure that you're compliant with legislation through each collection, use, and disclosure of every data point. And so it was that like very kind of meticulous thinking and detailed thinking that helped me understand data, helped me understand how digital systems work and how data flows through them. And so I kind of used that to continue to grow in the digital health space.
That's fascinating. We don't necessarily, or I shouldn't say that this, but privacy is a hot topic in, data for not data, within sort of the healthcare space in terms of the information that's input. But I also think it's very fascinating because as a patient, you automatically assume that you have the right to your information, which there's a whole background of, legislation and what can you actually have access to, which is very fascinating for me.
Totally. Yeah, it's fascinating and frustrating at the
Right? But not only from a provider perspective, but also from a patient perspective, right? So yeah, absolutely. That must have been an interesting space to work in.
Oh, it was. It does get I really admire people who can do it their entire careers because it is very difficult to again with the we're not great at change in healthcare to say no to initiatives that are going to benefit the system, but you just don't have the legislative authority because legislation that we are operating under was created again 20 years ago and not for the digital world. So
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's got to be a big flip, in terms of legislation melding with where we're at digitally. And I think, and I hate to bring this up, but I always do, but I think COVID really pushed healthcare very, written, well, extremely fast into the digital space, whereas we had been doing some things digitally, where we were now forced to do almost 100% of the things in the digital space. So whether that was virtual appointments or Zoom or whatever it was. And so I think we all had to learn really fast what was acceptable, what was security, privacy, all of those pieces came right in our faces at a time when everything was shifting. I'm not even going to say like daily, but almost hour by hour at some point.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be presenting at the National Conference with CIMA, and you're going to be talking about something called the Art of the Possible, which really sparked. I've read a book called Art of Possibility. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, what does this mean? So can you elaborate a little bit on what the Art of Possible means for you and what it means for health information and the digital space?
Yeah, for sure. I think in terms of the art of the possible, I see it as like you can make your story your own. If there's something that interests you, if there's something you're curious about, like dive right in and shape your whether it's your career or your task that you're working on in your day-to-day job. Like it's kind of bring that attitude to it, and it automatically just becomes more interesting and more fun. In terms of health information management, as I said, I really do think that they're, poised to lead this data revolution in healthcare. They bring a really unique blend of competencies and experiences that help them understand the meaning of good data, but also the hard work that goes into actually achieving good data. And that is what's going to help guide our industry, help, teach clinicians what it means, from a data point of view when they're documenting, and teach digital health teams like mine, what it means to, build out an EMR system or an experience that's going to enable the collection of good data rather than, hinder it because you haven't kind of made it very obvious for clinicians how to collect good data. So it's that kind of thinking and those competencies that's going to help guide this industry towards high quality, comprehensive, reliable data that our large EMR systems that most hospitals have now invested in Canada are actually going to be able to use.
I agree. And as you were saying that, I'm thinking because of the space that I work in right now. I mean, I work in, for lack of a better word, I work in the psychedelic space, but everything that we do is so data driven because we want to show that, yes, what we're doing actually works in an industry that, for the lack of a better word, people think is either woo-woo or has no basis in science. So it's very fascinating that, I'm doing these interviews and I'm actually seeing the actualization of all the data that we're collecting and how that definitely is going to impact not only this space that I'm working in, but the clients that we serve and future clients going down the road. And it didn't strike me until now how important data is. I mean, I knew that it was important, but I'm like, oh yeah, in emerging fields, it's extremely important because without this data, honestly, the government will shut us down and say, no, you can't do this, right? Because we don't have the science or the information that we need.
Yeah,
So
it's and that's such a good point, and it's something that's so front of mind even at an academic hospital like Women's, because we do a lot of data or a lot of research that's focused on advancing women's health, and we're kind of very niche in that way, and it really is important. I think that our clinicians are very well aware of we need data, we need it for our research, we need it to kind of make to show that these quality improvement projects, et cetera. But what's really missing in terms of their understanding is how do you collect data in a way that's usable by an analytics team, that we can actually turn it into a report that we can then send to the ministry to demonstrate, or that we can send to you as a clinician and an expert researcher. So you can use it, and you can, write a paper and kind of advance your field of study. It's not easy to just extract data out of unstructured free text fields. It does take it's worth that effort up front because it does help with all of these things that you're talking about. It helps to make the case.
I'm gonna have to, like, now that I've ha done all these interviews, I'm gonna have to sit everybody down to help us be able to extract data that's gonna be meaningful, because we have these conversations daily. Our data person's always asking me, well, what am I benchmarking this against? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and what I think it should be benchmarked against is probably not what it should be, right? So you're right. There's further conversations from professionals who have that lens, and it's not just the frontline clinicians who, oh yeah, this, I think this is going to be good, because that may have no bearing on the effect that it needs to have down the road.
For sure. Takes a team of people.
Absolutely. Okay, so as healthcare data becomes more accessible, what skills or knowledge areas should health information professionals or people in the digital health space focus on to remain relevant, and, that word again, resilient for the future?
Yeah, so this is completely my view on things. I'm sure everyone will have a different answer to this question. But personally, I think that focusing on data standards, data governance, and really understanding workflows in healthcare are going to be the key to success. That's where you'll build up the most valuable skills that we'll need to achieve that next, frontier of optimizing the use of our digital tools. Like we've got them in place now. They're set up for the most part, they're implemented, but we really need to optimize. And that means like getting into the dirty details of them.
How then, and this is just a jumping off point, but you talked about workflows, and workflows are so drastically different from inpatient to outpatient, from surgery to medicine. How then, and not only like in those buckets, but medicine in Ontario may look different in workflow than medicine in BC or Alberta or any other province. How then do you How then do you standardize a workflow that has all those different nuances so that you can get the information that you need?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. And again, like really demonstrates the value that health information management professionals can bring because they understand pan-Canadian and international data standards and classifications and terminology systems. And I think regardless of how specialized a workflow might be and how unique it might be, you can still ground it in data standards. So you can design a workflow and a user experience that's very specific to a one particular type of physician, and it's the only person that's practicing that particular type of medicine in the entire country. But at the end of the day, the data points that they're collecting are the same data points that other clinicians are collecting, and you can standardize on those. And that's the way to tackle it. So like the workflows might not be perfectly standardized across everybody, but the underlying data flows that they have can be.
You've really highlighted how important this field is. You've really, I think, brought a value and a specific lens to the importance of being able to collect the right information. And I've heard this throughout my career, but the right information for the right person at the right time, right? And it's not just about that slogan statement, but there's teeth behind it. The information that we collect really does affect the future of our healthcare system tomorrow. And I want to thank you for your contribution, for all that you do. But again, in this space, for what all health information professionals do, because they are such a valuable part of our healthcare system, that I think that we undervalue a lot of the time. Like, we know that they're there, but we don't really understand. And I hope that in the conference and throughout all these different interviews, I'm able to, and we're able to, really shed a light on the importance of the information that we need.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
No, this was great. Thank you. I'm just going to turn off the recording.